Can we agree that God is faithful in every season of our lives? Can we also agree, though, that life rarely ever stays the same? Who can agree with that? Who can agree? I mean, every day, every moment, life is constantly continuing forward. It's changing, whether we like it or not. And sometimes those changes in our lives come through major life events. Think of it, maybe it's a wedding, maybe it's the birth of a child, job shifts, health changes, relationships that have evolved, faith that's deepening, or even through struggles at work or at school or with family. Most of you know that my family has found ourselves in a whirlwind season of change and grief over this past year. We've gone from major health diagnosis of family members to myself experiencing pre-burnout in the fall to the sudden loss of Sam's mom and my grandmother. We went from running our Wake Up the World conference in early March, another successful year of that event, to then getting some much-needed rest and going to Florida for a couple of weeks, expecting to come back to celebrate the Easter season with all of you. And instead, we came back from that restful vacation to find ourselves up to our necks in prepping for two funerals. Not really how we anticipated the last couple of months going, but this reminded us of the reality of life. Life is constantly changing. It doesn't stay stagnant. It keeps moving. And now we as a church are finding ourselves in a different season. We're supporting our senior pastor, Pastor Drew, through a difficult time, but we are wanting to move forward together, navigating this ever-changing time that we find ourselves in here at Sunnyside. But here's the one thing I want us all to remember this morning, that even though life is constantly changing, even when things are moving forward, we can be assured that they aren't just natural, but every season we find ourselves in is held in the hand of God, our Creator, our loving Father, the one who knew everything before it happened, before we knew He did. And He is going before us, ordering our steps and ordering the steps of others as we navigate the season that we find ourselves in. And so today I want us to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where the author of the book reminds us that life is not random, it is seasonal. And while there is this inevitable season that's going to happen, there is both hope and growth that can be found in it. Because God is at work in every season, ordering them, redeeming them, and using them to shape us into His holy people. So if you have a Bible with you, I invite you to turn to Ecclesiastes 3. It will be on the screen, but I love that you can follow along in your own Bible or device and make notes as we go. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 15 this morning. Beginning at verse 1, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them up, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift from God. I know that in everything God does, we'll endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that people will fear Him. Whatever is has already been, and whatever will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And before we try to apply this verse, these verses to our lives or even make sense of it, we just need to simply sit with this passage and see what it's saying. Because life often comes in seasons. Some of those seasons we welcome. How many of you have been through a season that you have been okay with? Now, how many of you have gone through seasons that you would not have chosen if you had the choice? Absolutely. But all of them, though, are part of the human experience. And in all of them, God is aware and present in them. So I want us to look at three truths we can find about seasons from this passage. And the first is this: there are seasons for everything. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes was written as a book of wisdom, and scholars have debated who it was that actually wrote the book. Many people believe it was Solomon, whereas there are a bunch of other people that would argue it's not. However, they would argue that it was written by someone else in Solomon's voice and tone. And the book wrestles honestly with one of life's biggest questions: what is the meaning of life, especially when so much of it feels temporary or uncertain? And at the core of this book, the idea that the author is trying to get across is that everything in life is meaningless. But that word often gets misleading in our context today because, again, this wasn't written in English. Translations happened, words got translated, and oftentimes they got translated incorrectly to what we would understand it as. The word that was used here is the Hebrew word havel, which is more like fleeting, almost like a vapor or a smoke. So life is real and life matters, but it can't be held on to. Have you ever tried to grasp smoke with your hand? It just kind of slips through. That's just how the author is explaining life in this passage. Ecclesiastes is meant to unsettle the easy assumptions and lead us to a deeper trust in God. It shows us that human effort alone cannot produce lasting fulfillment, that life's seasons and the outcomes are not fully within our control, and that true wisdom is found in recognizing our limits and receiving life as a gift from God. And that's where our passage today fits in, because the teacher in Ecclesiastes acknowledges that life moves in seasons. Some of those are joyful, some are painful, but ultimately they point us to a God who has made everything beautiful in its time. So if you go back and look at verse 1, it says there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. We get introduced to this rhythm because after this comes this long list of things that we're going to look at, these seasons that people find themselves in. I want us to note a few things about those seasons and how the author has written them. First thing we notice, if you look at the next couple verses, they all start with a time to something and a time to something. There's repetition, and that matters. Because what this is showing us is that life is not random. It's not chaotic. There is an order to it. There's a rhythm that God has established these seasons with intentional design. The second thing that we can see in these is there are opposites. Time to be born, time to die, to plant, uproot, kill, heal, tear down, build. This reminds us of the fullness of the human experience, that life includes both joy and sorrow. And better yet, you can't have one without the other. And it shows us that opposing seasons are not only inevitable, they are necessary. You can't have growth without pruning. It's hard to be healed if you weren't sick. How many of you have tried to celebrate something that hasn't happened? Throw a celebration party for something that never actually happened in your life or someone else's. It's a very weird situation to be in. There's always something that came before. The third thing we find is that we are reminded you cannot live in every season at once. You might feel like you're living in every season. I have felt that way. I felt maybe living in a couple seasons at the same time, but you're not living in all of them. There is a time for each one. And that limitation that God has put on that, it actually reveals his care for us. Because reality is, if we had to carry every season all at once, it would be crushing. But instead, God in his wisdom has allowed us to walk through them one at a time. which leads us to this important truth that frustration often comes when we try to live outside of the season that we find ourselves in. When we resist it, when we try to rush it or try to hold on to a season that's already passed, we end up exhausted and discouraged. But when you begin to recognize the season that you find yourself in and accept that it's the season that you're in, we begin to live with greater clarity and faithfulness within it. If you look at this from a Wesleyan perspective, this idea of seasons reminds us that God's grace is not distant or passive. It's active in every moment of our lives. See, we believe that grace is always at work, going before us, walking with us, and shaping us. And that means that there is no season in our lives where God is absent. Whether we're in a season of joy, a season of struggle, of growth, or waiting, God is already there and is inviting us to respond to him. It also reminds us that we are not in control of the timing in our lives. See, seasons are not something that we get to create. They're something we enter into. And wisdom is not found in trying to control the timing, but instead learning to recognize and live faithfully within it. We understand this as Canadians, correct? We can understand this in our own seasons that we have. We have how many of them? We forgot construction season. But we can't rush the seasons. We can't rush winter into spring, no matter how badly we wish we could. No matter how tired you are of the cold, no matter how many times you've had to plow your driveway, no matter how many times you've hit black ice, we can't rush it. Winter has its time. And spring doesn't come because we demand it or because we just will it into existence. It comes in its proper time. Because reality is every season serves a purpose. Winter feels slow and even harsh, but there's something happening below the surface, which brings spring, and that brings growth, and the summer brings fruit, and the fall brings the harvest, and it prepares us for winter again. How many of you wish you could live in one season all the time? I mean, wouldn't it be great to live in summer the whole time? Here's the reality, though. You need all the seasons to make the cycle to work. So it wouldn't work to live in one season all the time. Now, the difference between weather seasons and life seasons is this. We have to accept the weather seasons. We can't change them. My daughter has argued with me over the last couple weeks that I keep lying about what the weather is. Because the weather changes. I can't control that. She says, but Dad, you're a pastor. You work for God. Can't you have some say? I can't do that. I can't control the weather. None of us can. But in life, we often try to resist the season that we find ourselves in. We try to rush it or avoid it or pretend that we're in a different one altogether. I understand that. I've been there. I've wanted out of a hard season. Don't want to sit with the grief or the frustration or the waiting. But part of wisdom is not escaping the season, it's recognizing it. It's being honest with yourself and with God about where you are and refusing to live out of step with reality. So instead of resisting, Scripture actually calls us to discern, to ask, what season am I actually in? Not what season do I wish I was in? Not what season was I in before? But what is the season that God has me in right now? And it's not just a helpful idea. It's actually found in Scripture. If we read further on in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 6, it says, for there is a proper time and procedure for every matter. In other words, there is a right way to live in the right time. But that requires us to recognize it. Because here's the thing, when we misname the season, we mislive it. See, if you try to harvest in a season meant for planting, you're going to end up discouraged. If you try to celebrate in a season meant for grieving, you'll feel disconnected. And if you try to rush what God has not yet completed, you'll only exhaust yourself. Maybe today you find yourself in a season of grief or loss or transition or waiting. Here's the thing, you have every permission to feel what comes with it. Whatever emotion comes with that season, you have the right to experience that. Lament is valid. Joy is valid. Tears are valid. But what isn't valid and what isn't wise is denying the season that you're in and running from it. I've tried that. I've tried to suppress it. I've tried to run from it. And let me tell you, it does not end well. And I would not wish that on anyone. So hear this clearly today. Don't fight the season you're in. Learn to recognize it. Because if God has appointed the seasons, then the first step of wisdom is simply aligning your life with the one you're in. Because finding clarity about your season changes how you live in it. You can't faithfully live in a season that you refuse to recognize. The second thing I want us to take from this passage is that seasons carry hope. Look again at verses 9 to 11. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. See, even when a season is painless, saying painful, painless, painful, not painless, wow. Even when a season is painful, it's not pointless. Because God's actively working towards bringing his beauty and redemption in every season of our lives. And I think this is the hardest point for us to understand in the middle of a difficult season. How many of you have been in the midst of a season of loss or of grief and have felt hopeful that you're going to get through it? A few people. How many of you may not have been able to see all the way through it in that moment? A few more. Even as I was writing this, I thought of past seasons that I had found myself in, those difficult seasons. And I think back, and all I could think was in those moments, when I was at the deepest part of that season, all I could focus on was the anger and the frustration that I had with God for bringing me there. And see, this is what the root is of our understanding of seasons, because we as humans, we have limitations, and we have to live within those limitations. We see the moment that we are in currently, whereas God has the whole picture. He can see what came before, he can see what's coming next, but we are so focused in on the season that we find ourselves in currently. But here's the thing, when you come through that season, when you're actually able to look back on what has happened and actually look at it without the blinders of fear or frustration, I bet you could see that hope was there the whole time. That God didn't leave you in the middle of that season. He was walking with you through it. See, when we step back from our limited perspective and listen to the witness of Scripture, we find that God has already spoken this into reality. And at the heart of that trust is a deeper theological reality that God is not passive in our seasons. He's actively working within them. Paul writes in Romans 8:28 that Rafaela read for us just a little while ago, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Notice what this passage does not say. It doesn't say that all things are good. It says God works in all things for good. That means God doesn't just use the good parts of your life. He works through all of it. Even what feels disordered or delayed or difficult is not beyond his reach. For he is not the author of our confusion or our pain, but he is the redeemer of all of it. Nothing is wasted in the hands of God. It's a bit like looking at a tapestry. How many of you have looked at a tapestry before? Maybe in museums or in documentaries. This is the backside of the tapestry. From underneath, all you see are tangled threads and knots and these disconnected colors, and it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense of what the picture's supposed to be. It looks messy. It looks unfinished. But when you turn it over, you see the beauty. the design, the intention that was there all along. In the same way, we often live in the underside of what God is weaving, unable to see how the threads connect. See, faith is trusting the front side of the tapestry while living on the back side of it. And so we hold on to this truth that God is not only present in the season, he's actively working within it. And that means that every season is not just something that we have to endure, something we have to get through, but something that God is actively using. And nowhere do we see this truth more clearly than in the life of Jesus himself. See, God's ultimate answer to suffering is not some explanation, it's in a person, in Jesus. We see that God does not stand at some distance from our seasons, he steps directly into them. For his timing is always intentional, even when it looks delayed or disruptive from our perspective. The cross is the clearest example. What looked like defeat was in fact the turning point of redemption. On that Good Friday, the disciples saw loss, silence, and an ending, but God was working something far deeper, salvation for the world. And on Resurrection Sunday, what looked like finality became victory. Because God has a pattern, and it often goes like this. It's suffering, then redemption, and then beauty. And that same pattern has now shaped our lives because we belong to Christ, and our seasons are no longer random cycles of pain and relief. They are instead being drawn into his story. See, what feels like loss can become the place where God is forming something new. What feels like waiting can become preparation, and what feels like breaking can become the very ground where growth begins to happen. Which is why we can say with confidence that every season becomes a place where God is shaping us into who he is calling us to be. The reality is we don't always understand the season that we find ourselves in, but we can trust the one who holds it all together. And often it's only when we look back that we begin to see what God was doing beneath the surface the whole time. That's why the scripture says that he has made everything beautiful in its time. Not always immediately, not when we want it, but in his time. And so faith in the middle of our season is not pretending that everything makes sense. It's instead choosing to stay open to God even when it doesn't. Because maybe the better question isn't, why this season? What if it's instead, what are you forming through me in this season? Because nothing that God has allowed into your life is wasted time. If he is present in it, then he has a purpose for it. And if that's true, then your season isn't just something you have to survive. It's something God is using. Which means even now, in ways you may not yet see, God is at work in the season you find yourself in. And that leads us to our third truth of this morning, that seasons are time for growth. Every season that we face is an invitation to spiritual formation. Let's look again at verses 12 to 15. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live, so that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. There's a grounded, almost simple wisdom found in these few verses, that life is a gift from God, and the call is to receive it with gratitude and live it with purpose. To rejoice, to do good, to find meaning in everyday rhythms of life, not because the season feels easy, but because every season is held by a faithful God who is present in it. And then the writer actually pulls us even deeper. Look again at verse 14. says that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. That means that what God is doing in your life right now is not temporary work. It's an eternal work. In other words, the shaping happening right now is not just about getting through a season. It's about God building something that will last beyond it. That patience that he is forming, the humility he's cultivating, the dependence that he is teaching, the faith that is being strengthened, these are not disposable outcomes. See, they carry eternal value because they are formed by an eternal God. And this is where we step into a Wesleyan understanding of grace, that God is not only the one who saves us from sin, but he is the one who continually transforms us in love. Because grace is not passive or distant, it is active, present, and shaping. And here we see sanctifying grace in motion. God at work in every season, forming us into the likeness of Christ. Because even when we're unaware of it, God is not idle in our circumstances. He's shaping our desires. He's refining our character. He's loosening what does not belong in our lives and drawing us deeper into holiness. And that means that no season is spiritually neutral. See, hard seasons are not just obstacles that we have to survive. They are places where God is forming endurance, dependence, and surrender. Seasons of joy are not just moments to enjoy, but they are opportunities instead to deepen gratitude, generosity, and worship. And seasons of waiting are not empty. They are classrooms of patience and trust and faith. And even seasons of confusion and disruption become places where God teaches us to release control and to rest in his goodness. Go back to verse 14 again because it reminds us something else. God does this so that people will fear him. Now that word fear does not mean terror. It's instead about reverence, awe, a holy awareness of who God is. See, it's the kind of growth that happens that shifts our posture before God. Because seasons are not only shaping what we do, they are shaping who we worship, how we trust, how deeply we depend on him. See, they draw us into this humility, reminding us that life is not self-directed, but God-held. But here's the truth we need to sit with today. You do not control the season, and you do not control the growth. You can't rush it. You can't force it or fully understand it in the time that you are in. But instead, you can choose how you respond to God within it. So you can resist his shaping, or you could yield to it. You can become bitter in it, or you can be formed through it. And often the difference between wasted pain and holy transformation is not the severity of the season, it's the posture of our hearts within it. And this is where hope quietly anchors itself, that what God is forming in you is not accidental, and it is not temporary, it is eternal in value. Because anything shaped by the hand of God, in the presence of God, through the grace of God, will endure long after that season has passed. So wherever you find yourself today, whether that's in a season of grief or joy or waiting or transition, be reminded of this: God is not finished with you. And the season you are in is not the end of your story. It's part of the forming of it. And if that's true, if God is at work in every season, carrying hope and shaping us through it, then the question is no longer whether God is present in our season, but how we respond to him while we're in it. So as we close this part of our service, I want to ask you one simple question. What season are you in right now? Is it a season of growth, a season of pain, of joy? Will you recognize the season that you're in? Surrender it to God. What would that look like for our church in the season that we find ourselves in? What if we looked at this season not as a season that we just have to get through, but instead as a season of growth together as a community with our faithful, loving Father as our guide? I want to remind you that just as winter gives way to spring, your current season is not permanent. I was reminded of this quote from the conference I was at Exponential in March. I can't remember which speaker said it, so I can't give the exact credit to who it was, but it was one of the six speakers that spoke there. But this really hit home for me. It says, seasons are temporary. There's always an ending. It may take time, but it will end. If your season doesn't end, though, then it's not a season, because every season has an end. Instead, this is a lifestyle, and that lifestyle needs adjusting. So hold to this promise. Your season is real, but it's not forever, and God is still at work. And if that's true, then your season is real but not forever, and God is not finished, then we don't just walk away from that truth. We choose today to respond to it. Because one of the ways that God meets us in every season is at his table. And today we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper together. See, in the Wesleyan tradition, we believe that communion is not something we come to because we have everything figured out. It's something that we come to because we are still being formed by God's grace. It is a means of grace where God meets us in these ordinary elements of the bread and the cup. And it reminds us that in every season of life, Christ is present, Christ is for us, and Christ is at work in us. So as we come to this table today, we come honestly in whatever season you find yourself in. There's no need to pretend, no need to perform, but just be open to the grace of God who meets us right here where we are. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood poured out for the many, for the forgiveness of the sins." And so today we remember that in every season of our human lives, Christ has entered in. In seasons of joy, he is present. In seasons of grief, he is present. In seasons of waiting, he is present. And in seasons of growth, God is present. And we come not as those who have it all together, but as those who are being formed by his grace. Here at Sunnyside, we practice open communion, and that means that if you have made the decision to call Jesus Lord and Savior of your life and have repented of your sins, you are welcome at the table. And maybe that's a decision that you're wanting to make today for the first time. If you do, we would welcome you to come to the table. What we'll do is we'll have you come out to the center aisle, form two lines, come to the front, and Pastor Amy and I will serve you the elements. You may want to pause in the front for a time of prayer or reflection, and then head back to your seats down the side aisles, and you can take the elements on your own time. For those of you that have been at Sunnyside for a while, we typically do gluten-free bread and grape juice. Today, it is gluten-free matzah bread. That was left over from our Passover celebration a few weeks ago. And so we are going to take communion with that, but it is still gluten-free. But as we come today, I want to remind you that this table is not a table of the perfect. It is a table of grace. It's not a reward for the strong. It is strength for the weak. And it is not the end of the journey. It is nourishment for the road. So wherever you find yourself today, you are invited to come. Come and receive the grace of Christ. Come and be reminded that you are not finished, and neither is God's work finished in you. Would you come to the table?